Yes, good morning again. Feels like the place empties out when the kids leave and the teachers go with, but it's a wonderful thing to see our kids serving the Lord and loving the Lord. I just want to put in a plug for tonight at 6 o'clock. We have our preachers forum. We got a number of folk who have been meeting over the last months who have a zeal and a passion for preaching. But tonight is our stand-up comedy night, and everybody is going to present a 3 to 5 minutes of comedy. So we need a good crowd here to cheer them on and put some pressure on our would-be preachers. I was working on my routine. Want some words of wisdom. They say that a long, drawn-out sermon is the equivalent of a hostage situation. So we just keep you held for a little while. That's my first joke. Come on. The preacher's meeting with the finance committee. And he says, "You must give me a raise because I am but a poor preacher." And they said, "We know. We've been listening to you for the last 2 years." So it's going to be a good night tonight, because the real comedians are going to get their chance. And we're going to have fun just encouraging them. So I have a couple more announcements, and we've had lots, and it's already 11 o'clock, so we'll go till 1 o'clock this morning. That's fine. No, it's afternoon. Yeah, sorry. No noise in the back there. We'll get our chance with you tonight, Bob. He's even invited friends. So coming up is camp. Don't miss it. But then the 30th of June, we got a number of things going on this summer. The 30th of June, I invited Jeff Harmon from Pearl Church to come and speak. So he's committed to do that. But what he told me yesterday is that they're going to bring the whole church on the 30th of June. So we're going to have a good time on the 30th. And then the 7th of July is a Sunday. We have Dave and Tamana McTaggart. They lead the Ministers Fellowship International, the group that we are part of as a church. And so they're coming from Langley, and they're going to be with us as leaders on Saturday, but they're going to be sharing the service on the Sunday. So I just encourage you to put a couple of those dates in your diary. We're going to have a good time this summer. I'm looking forward to camp. We've been praying, and a lot of people have been praying. We're going to fast and take some days this next week and the week following just before camp. So if you want to join with us and just pray that God would anoint Travis and Amy and the team that come down. We're looking forward to prophetic. We're looking forward to encouragement. Looking forward to just to take time and set it aside for God. And our camps have been some of the best times in the life of this church when we get together. So if you can come. If you can't make it for the whole camp, you can come just for the Sunday. Just because I'm thinking of it, remember, there's no service here on, it's the 16th, right? June 16th. There's no service here, so don't want you to show up at the door and wonder if the rapture's happened and you're left behind. You remember those movies with the razors in the sink? And the lawnmower there with a pile of clothes, because everybody's gone to heaven. So if you show up on the 16th, you may be by yourself. Wonderful. This morning, we're carrying on with a bit of a theme. We've been dealing with conflict. Mine this morning is challenging or speaking about the conflict of the kingdoms of God coming together. Do you ever feel like you're kind of caught between two worlds? You're caught between serving God, living for Him, passion for Christ, and the really world that we live in, and the pressure that's there, and sometimes the hostility towards what we believe and what we feel is like precious to us. And that conflict, those two kingdoms, they keep colliding. I like to say many times, there is only two kingdoms. There's God's kingdom, and then there's the other one. And we are challenged day by day to be part of His kingdom, to be establishing His kingdom, to be building His kingdom everywhere we go. And it starts with us, and it starts with our heart and with our attitude. So if you'd turn in your Bibles to Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 38 to 42, I'm going to just read out of the ESV. That's Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42. It says, "Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village. Do you remember the day, when I was reading this passage this week many, many times, do you remember the day that Jesus came into your village? I was blessed just remembering the day that Jesus came into my village. Really, when I met him, when I understood who he was. I can tell you the time of day, and I can tell you where I was, and I can tell you 1974, what was going on. Jesus showed up in my village. And I pray this morning that he will show up. He has been here, and he will show up in your life today in a special way. And a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. I like that too. I could preach every one of these lines. Evangelists don't need to be deep. They just need to be really wide. A woman named Martha welcomed him in her home. One day, Leonard welcomed Jesus into his home. Hey, changed my life. Changed my world. Still is. And she had a sister named, or called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but the one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." May the Lord bless his word this morning. But Mary has chosen the good portion, and it will not be taken away from her. So, let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for your word, and I pray, Holy Spirit, in these next few minutes, you will just sink something deep into our souls about your goodness and about your kingdom and about your purposes for our life. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. So in this portion of scripture, for me, there's a couple of problems that stick out. One is she was distracted by many things, and she was anxious of many things. Many distractions, and she became anxious about many things. It distracted her. It kept her from the one thing that really mattered. Martha didn't even make bad choices. Martha wasn't caught in adultery and dragged before Jesus. She welcomed Jesus into her home. She was an amazing woman serving the guests. She was there. So she wasn't making mistakes. She wasn't doing bad things, but she missed the one thing. And that's kind of the center of my message this morning. I'll keep working around it. But to not miss that one portion that mattered, that one big item, to not miss it, to not miss what really matters in our life. And so if you think about it, if you think about distractions, you think about being anxious, a couple of thoughts came to my little mind, and it's simply this, that you can't have everything, so you got to choose. You got to make some choices in your life. One of the lies that keeps going around, you know, the lies of feminism, for example, is you can have everything. You can be the most amazing mother. You can have this most fulfilling career. You can be a model. You can do it all. And it's a lie. You can't. Something has to give. You can be the greatest businessman. Or, you know, the lie of commercialism is that you can have it all. The lie of religion is that you can just come and add God onto your life and somehow it's gonna work out. It's the lie of the flesh. You can eat anything you want. That's a lie. You can, but you'll die. It's a lie we tell ourselves. I deserve more. I don't have enough. I gotta get some more stuff. And it's the opposite of being thankful. So when you think of distractions, it's a lie of the enemy out there that just keep us busy looking for more. There's got to be more. We deserve more. I have to be more for myself to have any kind of satisfaction or settle things in my life. And the anxiousness, when I think of anxious people, when I think of when I become anxious, you get caught up, distracted by too many things. You get overwhelmed, And part of it is you compare yourself to other people. You ever compare yourself? We were talking about it last night with the men and praying here in the front. And one of the lies of the enemy is that we're not good enough. We're not enough. And then when you feel that shame, you feel that weakness, you push it onto others. You become a shame giver. You start reacting harshly. You start, you know, doing all the things he was sharing last night. But we can compare ourselves to the whole world these days. You know, I just love it. You know, let me take it away from me. You can compare yourself on the social media to everybody, to 700 million people. How am I doing? My life doesn't look as exciting as theirs. My church, my ministry, my business, my finances. I'm never good enough. Never add up to what is out there. And when we compare ourselves and we see, you know, that what the world says and what the lies are that about what we deserve and all the things I just mentioned, you just go away with this anxious feeling, distracted, wrestling, never finding that one good portion, that one good inheritance, the word means, that one good present that God wants to give us. I believe God has a better portion for us all. And it's different for each of us, but he's got a portion for us. He doesn't want us to live in this frustrated between two kingdoms, wrestling all the time, not confused, anxious, frustrated with life. I don't believe that's God's purpose. I believe he wants us to find a sweet spot. He wants us to find a life that's filled with fulfillment and life with joy. Not that there's not issues. It's like I said, Martha wasn't doing bad things, but she just missed the one sweet spot. He didn't tell her, quit taking care of guests and quit cleaning up your house. He just said, Mary chose a better portion. You're anxious about too many things. You're just running. You're distracted. You're going all over the place. And you have no peace. You have no joy. You're anxious about many, many things. I think that makes a good description of a lot of lives. We're busy and we're caught up and we're wrestling with things. And, you know, maybe I'd ask you, how's your priorities going this morning? Because we're talking about priorities. We're talking about choices. We're talking about settling some things in our life that really matter and going after some of those well and making our lives count for the kingdom. I wrote this down, so I might as well read it. If we never settle what our portion is, we'll live a continually frustrated life until we find our good portion. Find that good portion in God. And I'm saying it knowing in my own life there's seasons when you hit those sweet spots. When you come into a good spot, I like being in those. I feel like I'm in one. That's when you need to be praying hard because the enemy wants to just come and take you out sideways. But it's nice when you don't have to be anxious and be distracted. When you can just come into a place where you're doing God's will, where you're walking things out. And yeah, there's battles, but you're in a good spot. So what's the answer? I got some good answers for you. How do we get that good portion? How do we find that spot in life? How do we come to a place where we can just kind of settle the storms and shout at our enemies and all the things? We made some pretty big declarations in our songs today. How can we get to that place? Well, glad you asked. First of all, we have a choice. You have a choice. Mary chose the good portion. The same house, the same Jesus, the same circumstances. Mary chose the good portion. Martha missed it. What's your choice this morning? What are you choosing to give your life to, your thoughts to, your strength to? Moses, the Bible says he chose his portion with Israel. Let me read a couple of verses. And I know you've heard these, but just listen to the word of God again this morning. Hebrews 11:25, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin, or the sin for a season. Sin is pleasurable. Don't believe a lie. Sin's a lot of fun, but it's for a season. It comes to an end. the joy of God, the presence of God. You know, Moses chose to suffer with Israel for that season rather than enjoy that pleasurable season of sin for a bigger purpose and a bigger plan. Joshua, it says in 24:14, it says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him." You know those verses. "Choose this day who you'll serve. As for me and my household," you've read that scripture. David says it in Psalm 15 or 16, verse 5. He says, I like these words, "The Lord is my chosen portion, my cup. You hold my lot." He holds my lot. He's got my inheritance set, prepared for me. "The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance." That's it. I feel like David when I'm preaching this morning. We have a portion to choose. So what does that mean? It means you're not a victim. Would you say amen? You're not a victim. Stop acting like a victim. Like you are a victim of your parents, or you're a victim of circumstance, or you're a victim of something. You're not. God's given you a choice. He lays before you a portion, an inheritance. He says, you know, if one thing I take away from 30 days shredding the Bible, and I've shared it many, many times, is all through Scripture, from Adam all the way down to the end, every time God made promises, "I will bless you, I will do this, I will, you know, give you this," but there's a connection to it. There's a responsibility put to it. There's something we must do to follow through on it. And again and again and again, God speaks to Adam. He speaks to Moses. He speaks to Israel. He speaks to the apostles. And every time they fail, every time they choose poorly, every time they walk away, every time they say they don't want that, until God has to remind them again and again and again. Maybe you're just one good choice away from an amazing life. You're not a victim. Maybe you're just one choice away from an amazing life that God has planned for the rest of your future. Maybe it's just one choice away. What's your portion? I got to stick with this for a minute. You're not a victim. My brother and Brian and Val just flew back to Ethiopia. He texted me last night, safe and sound. And I sit with people and say, "Oh man, that must be pretty cool, fly back and forth to Ethiopia." And it's like they made a choice 35 years ago of what their life was going to be about. And they're living in it. You know, people have said to me, "Oh yeah, you know, you've been to Africa many times and you've tried. It must be exciting." Yeah, I made a choice when I was 15 at an altar. My portion is the Lord's. Like David, he says, he's my portion. He's chosen my lot. I'm choosing to follow him. I've been around the world many, many, many times. My kids flew around the world before they were three, many, many times. It's like, yeah, we're blessed. I'm not going to deny it. We're blessed. We made some choices. I have family members. I won't say any names because things get recorded. But, you know, they say, "Oh, man, we wished we could come to Africa. We just wished we could have come to visit just once." I remember looking at one of them, and they had like 7,000 Nintendo games and CDs and whatever, videos back in the day. And it's like, this many of them in the pile of this many would have been your first trip to visit. It's a choice, is what I'm trying to say. You're not a victim of circumstances. You're not stuck where you are. You can make some choices about your food and about your money and about your spending and about your life and about the kingdom of God. God's given us that. Moses chose some things that were difficult at a time. You know, I've heard Carrie speak here about finances, and many times it's like, "Oh, sick, I know the truth, but I don't want to do that. I just want to be wealthy. I don't want to save money. I don't want to quit spending now. I don't want to take my tithe. Don't take your tithe. I don't want to take my tax return and invest it that it when I'm, you know, older, it'll be worth. No, I want to buy junk right now. That's way more fun." We have choices. Make some good choices in your life. Jesus is my choice. He is my portion. He is my inheritance. Does that mean every day all I do is just wake up and just, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, waiting for the Spirit of God to lead me, whether I should go to Macedonia or to Jerusalem? I wish there was like that. There's seasons like that. But you wake up in the morning and you say, this is the Lord's day. I wish I had a big black robe and I'd lift my arms. This is the day that the Lord has made. Hallelujah. I will be glad and rejoice in it. It's my choice. It's my choice. I'm going to serve God. One thing I took away from Dr. Shea's message last night, he was talking about shame and how we deal with people and when we are shamed and became shame givers and whatever, how we react. And one of the things that just stuck with me is we need to show respect to one another. Respect. Wherever people are at. Jesus, his example, sorry for sharing it again if you weren't there last night, but the woman caught in adultery, Jesus did not condemn her. Jesus did not add to the insult. He loved her. He respected her. So no matter where people are coming from into your life, no matter where you are at in your walk with God, we want to respect that. We want to walk in relationship with Jesus and with one another. And so it's important that we make good choices. It's important that we challenge one another. It's important that we encourage one another in our life and how we're doing these things. So what do you value? Just be honest. What do you value? What's your portion? The second thing I want to say is, how can we tell when we're making a good decision? Or how can we tell when we've chosen the right portion in our life? First of all, it's often found in the path less traveled. You know, the path to heaven, the road to heaven is very narrow. Few there be that find it. That's scripture. What's popular is seldom right, and what's right is seldom popular, they say. When you make a choice like Moses, like David, like anybody, Brian, you're quite often on your own path. And I've shared my testimony, but when I decided I was going to Bible school, my mom and dad could see what was coming. And it's not that going to Bible school is the greatest call and will of God for everyone's life. We each have a path. I'm just sharing my path. You have to choose yours. But when you choose a path to follow God, whether it's in a marriage, or whether it's in business, whether it's in life or calling, don't be surprised that everybody's just not cheering you on. I remember when I first got saved, April 1974, I went to the first wedding we always had weddings back then. We had every family in my cousins and cousins' families all had 8 or 10 kids, so it seemed like that's all we did was weddings, and everybody invited everybody to weddings, and it was always big. And I remember going to the first wedding, I just got saved. My brother led me to the Lord, I'm so excited, and I start telling my cousins what's happened, and they're like, it's like, oh, you guys aren't that excited about what I just shared. They're like freaked out. It's like, okay, I guess I won't tell my cousins these things too much. So I go to school and I tell my friends at school and they're like, oh, you probably are. Yeah, you probably are one of those guys. My friend found my pen with the little praying hands on it. And I just remember it was like the devil himself coming after my mind that I wasn't so popular anymore. I wasn't such the good guy anymore. It's going to cost. If you find yourself in the crowd, maybe you have to look at your priorities again. If you can't see the difference between your life and the unsaved neighbor who lives beside you, maybe you need to look at your path. You might have to make a few choices. The other thing about whether you're on choosing the right portion, you're not only just on a narrow path, you find yourself alone many times. You'll also find that you're going against your own nature. This flesh, me. And I've shared a little bit about it, but man, whatever I've chosen to walk with God, whether it's a discipline of prayer, a discipline of finance, a discipline of serving, doing, going, whatever it is, whatever the discipline was, this flesh hates it. So don't be surprised when your own flesh is challenging you. When you try to make a commitment. You know, I was talking to someone today, just happened to be my daughter, not today, this week. But every time you say, I'm going to really make a commitment to do my devotions in the morning, I'm going to pray, I'm going to get this thing right, that's the morning that all hell breaks loose in your family. That's when just chaos reigns, and you go away, instead of feeling like you've done something amazing for God, you go away feeling like you just messed up and failed again and again. And it goes against this nature. You know, if you want a good example, just talk about sharing the gospel. Again, Carrie just challenged us this morning to pray and to ask God, who are those people around us? Just go to your neighbor's house and I don't necessarily recommend it because nobody likes people knocking on their doors anymore, but somehow connect with your neighbor. Our neighbors were shingling their roofs and we're talking, and you know, I'm 60 years old, and did I mention that before? But so we're chatting, and it's like the devil's got to be in this, that I don't want to invite him to the men's ministry last night. It's like, what? I could talk to this guy about anything. As soon as I want to bring up the gospel, I want to bring up Christ, I want to bring up how are you doing spiritually in your life. And we've invited them to the ladies thing, and she's come in different meetings, but it's like there's a spiritual battle going on. When I say I'm going to share the gospel with my neighbor, share the gospel with my friend, I'm going to speak life into the circumstance, and then it's like I feel like I'm 16 years old again, back in high school, trying to tell my friends about Jesus, and they insulted me. And I'm like, I don't like that feeling. I hate it, actually. When you make the right decisions, choices, you choose the right portion, you'll find yourself with Jesus. Hallelujah. That one I like. I like the feeling, and I like the knowledge, and I like the reality of knowing I'm in a good place with Christ. I'm in a good place with my Lord and Savior. I feel like Mary, I'm sitting at his feet. Doesn't mean I don't live my life and I don't have anything else to do, but I'm in a sweet place in my life. I can talk to the Lord, I can pray, I can believe God for finances and miracles and life, things to happen, because I'm in a good place with him. And the last one on this point is you can know where, I want to read it right, you will know by where your treasure is. You'll find your treasure there. Where your treasure is, their heart will also be, the Bible says. You know, you can check what it is you value, where your portion lies, by where your treasure is, what you treasure, where your treasure is. Amen? Show me your bank account. It's a good thing to show people, not everybody, show someone who you trust, someone who will walk with you, your bank account. Try it. You know, you want to share it with a leader, with someone who you respect, do it. It's a challenge to open up your finances. Show me your finances and I'll show you what you value. Show you what's important in your life. Some won't even show their wives, or their wives won't show their husbands. There's a problem. Amen. Show me your calendar or your time or your Facebook or whatever, and I'll show you what you value. I love to preach out of the 11th hour worker. Jesus tells lots of stories, and that story of the 11th hour worker, you know, the guys work all day, they get up in the morning, and then the 11th hour, they come and they hire some more, and it's that last hour of the day. It's 5 o'clock till 6, and they work that 1 hour, and then Jesus comes, and he starts paying, and he pays those who joined last, he pays them, and then he pays, and he pays, and he pays till the guys who worked all day, and they get the same wage, if you remember the parable, and then they're complaining, didn't we labor in the sun all day? And he says, isn't it my place to do with my workers what I want? And you know, the first will be last and last will be first, that text. But the point is, our reward, our reward of saying yes to God is that we get to serve Him more. We get to live for Him more. That's our reward. Our reward for serving is that we get to serve more, not less. It's the flesh that says, no, no, I got to take care of me. I've got to take care of my stuff, my situation. I can't get involved in your life. I can't get involved in a church life. I can't get involved in stuff that's going to take up my time and my life. And that's actually the opposite. It's a lie. When we make the good portion our choice, when we choose the good portion, I'm telling you, it doesn't, you know, it goes against the flesh. We're by ourselves. The enemy's screaming in our face. All these things are going on. But you come into this place where you realize this is actually God's blessing to me. This is actually God's reward to me, allowing me to serve Him more. And when you catch it and when you see it, like Mary saw it and Martha needed to see it. But when you see it, you get it. I'm not doing this because I'm paid or someone's pushing me or someone's prodding me along. I'm doing this because, man, I've come into a place of heaven. I've got a good inheritance. The Lord is my inheritance. This is my place. This is where I come alive in God. So whatever that relates to in your life, as you commit it to God, whether it's your job, whether it's sharing Christ, whether it's ministry, whether it's whatever, you come into that place where you say, God, my treasure's in the right place. I may not have finances. I may not be the best businessman, but man, I come into a sweet place in my life, in my marriage, in my walk with God. That's His reward for us and to us. So how do I end this thing? If you find yourself anxious, without peace and joy in your life, if you're always distracted with the urgent rather than the important, you need to make some changes. And I got this line here, and I like to put it in for parents. It's for me, it's for all of us. But don't be surprised if your children don't value what you don't value. They will become what you are. If we personally prioritize everything before God and His kingdom, don't be surprised if we're missing out. Don't be surprised if we feel confused, if we feel challenged. Don't be surprised if there's just something not right. And, you know, Dr. Shea said it again last night. You know, you try to fill those voids. You try to fill that shame, that emptiness in your life. And it can relate to 100 different things. And you try to fill it up with all the toys and with all the work or with ministry or with pornography or whatever it is. You try to fill your life with that stuff. You will end up with a hunger in your heart and an emptiness in our soul. I heard a good example this week, and I will end with this. Very slow landing. No, we're doing pretty good. I'm doing good. You took all the time. Peter, when he had to stand, you know, I got to shorten this. But at the end of Jesus' ministry, and as he's being taken away to be crucified, and you remember the story of Peter denying Christ 3 times, swearing, you know, just, I have nothing to, you know, he just loses it, and then the rooster crows. And so Peter, at that very moment, he's like far away from Christ. He's lost his inheritance, as it were. He's separated himself. It's not the same Peter who walked on water. Think of Peter's life. His ministry with Jesus, the stuff he saw, the lives that were changed because of him. He's now sitting there making this terrible decision, saying, I don't know who that is, swearing in their faces. These young girls are coming up to him. It's amazing God chose young girls to come to, aren't you? I can hear you. You speak like him. I don't know that. And he's swearing and he's denying him. And then he gets caught. And I say this, that we can get in places in our life where we feel like we're far away from Christ, where we are the Marthas. We're not sitting at his feet like Mary. We're not in the sweet spot. We're busy. We're anxious. We're trying to do things right. We're trying to work it out, and we're trying to make things happen, and we find ourselves in a place we didn't plan to be. is what I'm trying to say. You can say it about marriage, you can say it about work, you can say it about your personal walk with God. I did not expect my marriage to go this way. I did not expect, you know, you're not divorced even, you're living with your wife of 40 years. But you didn't expect it to be like this. You find yourself separated from God. You find yourself not in that sweet place. And I want to say this morning that it's one choice away. It's one decision away to come back to a place. You know, and the example that I wanted to share was the story of, you know, when stores have their sales, everything must go sale. They put up a big sign that says, everything must go. And I'm saying to you and me this morning, we need to have one of those everything must go times. When we take a look at our stock, at what we have, our portion, our inheritance, what we are, and we say, you know what? This stuff must go so that I can bring in some new stock, so I can bring in some new product that's going to bring profit, that's going to be valuable in this shop, in this life. I need to clean out some stuff. I need to make a couple of choices here. Get rid of some stuff. Clean up my garage. Do a spring cleaning so that I can bring in some new product. You know, it's time to tell depression. It's time to tell anxiety, get out of my life. You're robbing space for joy. It's time to tell unforgiveness to move along. I've been here long. I've been chewing on this thing for long enough. It's robbing me of freedom. It's killing me. It's time to clean up and say, you know what? I want some new product. I want some new, fresh portion, inheritance in my life. And I don't know where you're at in your walk with God. You say, you know what? I used to have faith. Man. I used to have faith for that. I used to have faith to do things. I used to have faith for financial gifts. I used to have faith for a family or whatever. I used to have faith. You find yourself saying that. I used to have some joy. I used to have some excitement in the things of God. I used to worship God. Man, we used to go till after midnight. Man, if you're finding yourself saying that or thinking that, change. Repent. Musicians, come. Thank you. Helps me to end. Maybe you're just one choice away from the good portion. Maybe one choice today, just one choice, would take your life from this direction to this direction. And I said back in 1974, I can tell you the day Jesus came into my village. And it's like Mary sitting at his feet. I got it. I understood it. I got it. And I'm praying this morning, no matter where you're at in your walk with God, no matter who you are, this morning you'll make a choice. You'll make a choice to say, God, you're my portion. I choose what is difficult today because I want an inheritance with you. I want a better inheritance. I want a better life. And sometimes as a preacher, you can feel like we're pushing or banging. But I'm telling you, listen, we're pleading. We're crying out. We sing every song we can. We say whatever we can. But it's up to you and I to make that decision. And Jesus said to Martha, 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 you're anxious about many, many things. You're distracted. You're working hard. You're trying so hard, but you're missing the one precious thing. It's Him. Mary got it. And I pray this morning that you and I would get it. And say, God, we've been chasing all this stuff. We've been living, but we missed you. Amen.